underestimate. SB and Sean breaking through the noise, serving real talk, the genuine choice.
No pretense, no hidden schemes, just sports passion fueling dreams. From the field to the court, every play that's made, real takes over fake debates. Turn it up, hear the honest sound, unfiltered sports all year round. Discussions pure, no masquerade, real takes over fake debates. Turn it up.
And we are live. SB Talk Sports, Sean Webb. Real takes over fake debates, sponsored by Swift Energy. You code RTOFD to get 20% off your order. Sean, it is Monday. How are you feeling?
Doing good, SB. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. And what's the one thing you want to say real quick for you guys is, obviously, you know, we took over all audio platforms. So please go check out Real Takes Over Fake Debates on Apple, Spotify, or iHeart Music. Matter of fact, just let the link take.
Real Takes Over Fake Debates has invaded the audio podcast world. Add Real Takes Over Fake Debates on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and iHeart Media. Leave a 5-star review and comment below. New episodes every Monday and Friday.
Yes, new episodes every Monday and Friday. Sean, we got a lot of things to talk about. We just recap week 3 of the NFL week. And the best thing I want to title this, which is the title of this episode, is NFL week 3 recap, the replacements. One man trash is another team's treasure. Because this week was full of that, injuries, replacements, new faces and new places, getting opportunities. Some guys looking good in new situations. Some guys get put on a bench. Old guys step up. I think this was pretty much everything what this week has said. But because it's important to me, Sean, we got breaking news that just hit the board that you sent me. Only very more important to me more than anybody else, though, Sean, because my favorite player, the Shy Legend, my GOAT, Derrick Rose, has just been waived by the Memphis Grizzlies. Stories and reports says that Derrick Rose wanted out his contract. He had one more year left on his contract. What is your reaction to this? And then I can tell the people what my reaction because I texted to you.
I think we're nearing the end of obviously Derrick Rose in the NBA.
Don't say that, Sean.
Sean,
please don't say that, man.
You know, obviously when you talk about, you know, the biggest what ifs in NBA history, and you talk about, you know, Penny Hardaway and Grant Hill and, you know, Greg Oden and Brandon Roy, Derrick Rose is in that conversation as well. Obviously, you know, we always wonder what could have been. But that said, you know, he has hung on and tried to, you know, be, you know, a role player and be a, you know, a veteran presence in, you know, the last few locker rooms he's been in. But I think it's just kind of understanding the reality of, based on his age and just where he is right now, that we're probably nearing the end of his career. So, you know, maybe, you know, he'll, you know, decide to, you know, again, sign with Chicago or something like that. Again, I don't know what the interest might be from the Bulls front office. But, you know, again, I would think that, you know, we're nearing the end of Derrick Rose in the NBA.
Oh, man. Sean, I don't want to hear that, man. Even though my boy Rose ain't the same Rose that he was with the Chicago Bulls. But this is my favorite player, man. It ain't like – It's not even say the point of me getting older, which it did, that is too, you know. So I'm like I started seeing LeBron full career, Kobe full career. But with Derrick Rose, it kind of hit different when it's your favorite player. Then also my favorite player career, he didn't fully live out to his potential. So it's not hit. At least like you could prepare, like Kobe fans could compare, like, okay, yeah, Kobe doing to the tail end. Now since his last year is cool. LeBron fans, you see LeBron, this is last year, last two years, come to the tail end, you can enjoy it. Like, I can't really enjoy it because it's like, it ended so abruptly. And, man, this is like, I definitely sent Sean the gift of Tyrese crying from Baby Boy because I don't want to accept it, man. I don't. Tiffany said he should sign with the Bulls and retire. I would love to see him retire with the Bulls. I'd love to see him. We not winning nothing this year. Let Derrick Rose sign with the Bulls. Farewell tour. I'm cool with that. A farewell tour of Chicago. Cottage said, I remember when Derrick Rose won the MVP in 2011. I did too. I see Taj. You look, the Giants get one win. He talking crazy in the chat. But yeah, I all have hopes for Derrick Rose. I hope he come back to Chicago. He got to retire a Bull. Even though he still wasn't even at his full potential, he got MVP. But let's go ahead and get into this NFL talk. We got to do some NFL Week 3 recaps. Like I said, Sean, I think this the perfect title for Week 3 is The Replacements. One team trash is another team treasure. And speaking of one team trash is another team treasure, the Steelers are 3-0 right now with Justin Fields. I believe in your picks. You definitely picked the Steelers. I picked the Chargers. You know, I'm going to rock out with my team. We was a little dinged up. And playing against their steel curtain defense is very tough. But you cannot deny, and I cannot deny the fact in that Justin Fields is looking better and better and better the more and more he plays. Last game, he went 25 for 32, 245 yards, one TD, one interception, and he ran a touchdown in. Sean, what can you say about Justin Fields, and did the Steelers actually find a quarterback?
I mean, it's three games in. Obviously, SB, you got to think that, you know, to a certain degree that, you know, they are getting a little more comfortable with the idea that Justin Fields could be their quarterback. But it's three games in. I think they've done a good job of trying to, you know, slow his integration into their offense and to what they want to do. But I think the big thing he's getting is stability for the most part in terms of coaching from Arthur Smith and even, you know, Mike Tomlin. You know, the Steelers, we always say this about the Steelers SB organization. They are not an organization of panic. That's not how they roll. They are the anti-Carolina Panthers. So the fact that he's in an organization where, again, they understand that it takes time, there's a process, and again, you know, it was low risk, high reward, and they are reaping the rewards of it right now. But it is early, you know, again, three games of 17, and you know, what they're going to do is take it week to week. I know there are people saying they should just go ahead and name Justin Fields their starter for the season. That's not Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is always going to generally keep his options open. But right now, I mean, without question, Justin Fields is the starting quarterback for that team. And I think what was very telling yesterday, and I did catch, you know, the game as I was watching multiple games, he threw an interception. It was on a tip pass, but there was no panic that everybody was still calm and everybody felt like, okay, you know, we're okay. And we're still going to find a way to win this game. And they did. And again, complimentary football, you know, he threw the ball really well, probably his best passing game so far this season, but also the complimentary football of the Steelers defense has played lights out football, you know, so far. So, you know, I think they're in a very good place, but we'll see, you know, where things go.
As a quarterback, honestly, even though, like, you can always say an offensive line can play better or anybody can do better, I think the Steelers situation is, like, one of the best places to go as a quarterback because you got a defense on that side of the ball where they're going to give you opportunities to score. And honestly, the only things the Steelers was really missing was a quarterback. You got a running back in Najee Harris. You got weapons with Pickens. You got a defense that's going to lock in and get stops and put you in position to score easily on the offensive side of the ball, or also make the other side, the other team's offense have a hard time to score. It's always going to be with Mike Tomlin, going to be a grit and grind out game. You ain't never going to see no Steelers game, especially with this current defense right now, where it's going to be a 45-42 type. No, it's always going to be 20-10, like we've seen this, a 16-13 type of game. It's going to be a grit and grind, make you work for the game. And then now as a quarterback and as electric as Justin Fields is, who can break off as a big play anytime with his legs or with his arms, you will love that situation to go to as a quarterback. But, Sean, I also want to bring up, obviously, I'm from Chicago. Shout out to the Bears. Shout out to the Bulls, Blackhawks, all the Chicago teams, besides the White Sox right now because they just doing terrible. Chicago fans are panicking because you know that certain Chicago Bears fans actually wanted to keep Justin Fields. So to see Justin Fields to prosper to 3-0 with the Steelers, which people still not credited, even without a quarterback, this team went had a winning record. You know, Mike Tomlin going to have a winning record or a tie record. There you go. He went to a good situation. The Bears did good by him by sending him to a situation because they could have easily sent him to somewhere like the Commanders, the Panthers, a bad team situation. They sent him to a good situation. Y'all got to realize that the same problem that Fields have here, Caleb has here. Now he really don't have that problem with the Steelers. And honestly, he probably had some of the best coaching. Obviously, Justin Fields probably has some of his best coaches since he touched the NFL field with Mike Tomlin. You got a stable coach where everything he says run the franchise. The program going to run the way Mike Tomlin wants to run the program. And people don't understand that how valuable of having a stable coach who knows what he wants, going to tell you how to get the job done, and put you in the right position to win. That's what is going on with Justin Fields and the Steelers. Because nobody never doubt Justin Fields' talent. But if you're in a situation on a team, and that's any quarterback, where you don't have a line and your coaching situation is not stable, it'll be very hard to see you be successful in the NFL. I don't care what nobody says, Sean. It will be hard for you to be successful at the NFL level without those things. You need those three things. You need those two things for a quarterback, a line, and a coach. And a coach is definitely way more important. Because trust me, Patrick Mahomes would not be Patrick Mahomes without Andy Reid. We can stand on that, and I 100% stand on that.
SB, let me ask you something. Just if we were putting Pittsburgh and Chicago, Steelers and the Bears up against each other, who has the better ownership?
The Steelers.
Who has the better head coach?
The Steelers.
Who has the better offensive coordinator?
Right now, the Steelers for sure.
Right. So to say, if Justin Fields was still in Chicago, he'd be doing this. Not likely, because to your point, number one, and again, when we did this early this year, last season. Obviously, if you want to check it out, go back and check it out. But we talked about when we had the two Bears enthusiasts on, and my concern was Matt Eberflus. Is Matt Eberflus the right person for Caleb Williams? If you draft Caleb Williams, obviously they did. Because I think he's a lame duck situation. And again, what did he show with Justin Fields that gave you this sincere comfort that he was the right head coach for Caleb Williams long term? I'm not a big fan. I don't say, this coach needs to be fired or anything like that, because that's still somebody's job. That's somebody's livelihood. They have family. They have a lot of things that factor in. I'm not a big fan of that. But what I will say is I think there are a couple names out there, if I am the Bears, that I'm going to be looking at this offseason, regardless of the outcome, that I think match better with Caleb Williams long term. Mm-hmm. So, that's it. But you didn't do that for Justin Fields, and that's fine. You moved on from Justin Fields. Now you got to you know, deal with the situation you're in. But to assume that, oh, if we kept Justin Fields would be doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. No, that's generally not how it works. The situation is very different. And you just mentioned better ownership, better head coach. Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, I would say is a better offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith made Ryan Tannehill look like an all-star in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So Arthur Smith, nothing against the Bears OC, but
I'm
just saying. So, you know, I just think it's a little irresponsible to say, oh, Justin Fields will be doing this in Chicago. Not with this current infrastructure. I'm not sure he would.
And then the crazy part about this is, too, though, while people still complaining, Caleb Williams, and shout out to the Bears defense. I want to say the Bears defense has been phenomenal, by the way. But Caleb Williams, with all these problems still going on, I believe he threw for like 370 yards, 363. The kid got talent. The kid going to be fine. But like you said, the coaching structure, and until you put your players in a better position to win, a coach can change a whole dynamic, which we're going to talk about a coach and another team in the Bears same division who changed a whole dynamic in this team, which we didn't expect that much from them because they lost their star quarterback. But that coach came in, put his stamp on his defense, and changed the dynamic. And that's what people got to realize and understand. You can't tell the story of a book without just reading the back cover. You got to go read the whole book, get the in middle details too. You have to. But let us know. Go ahead, Sean.
And I want to say just about the game yesterday while we're on it. The big difference in the game for me yesterday was, Caleb Williams threw the ball 52 times. That's way too much. Mm-hmm. That's way too much. But they only had 63 yards, and they were averaging 2.3 yards a carry as a team. That means you're not running the football well, which means you're putting your rookie quarterback in the position where he's seeing long distance on second and third down, generally speaking, because you're not running the ball well. Where conversely, the Colts ran the ball with Jonathan Taylor. He ran the ball. He had over 100 yards yesterday and two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson didn't ball out. He had a couple of plays, but he also had a couple of plays where you're like, So I think the big thing for the Bears is let's not put Caleb in the position where he has to save us every week because we're not running the football well. But also it goes to whether or not the offensive line is the right line up front. And Caleb,
I'm glad you stopped right there. Did you see that goal line, that the strong toss of that option pass that threw out, right?
Yes.
Everybody on the offensive line was on the floor. At least four of them on the floor. Once it's more than three of y'all, that's the whole line. On the floor, all got pushed down. And that play went from like first, it was like one on the goal line. They lost 12 yards on that play.
Yes. I mean, it starts up front. Can you win the trenches? Mm-hmm. But also, can you be a team that stays balanced? And again, for me yesterday, the Bears were very unbalanced offensively. Mm-hmm. When you're asking your rookie quarterback in his third game to throw the ball over 50 times. Now, again, a lot of times they were down. They were trying to get back in the game. Had a chance, to steal one. But obviously the Colts were able to hold on there. So, I just think it's the Bears organization has to be very, very honest with itself and say, as an infrastructure, are we set long-term to build around this guy? And I would say, as of right now, no, you're not.
No. And that, if anybody came here, they got to figure out that run game, because if you got to do nothing but throw the ball, because now you come predictable. And I remember last show, I was like, don't worry about winning losses. Let Caleb Williams do his thing. I mean just let him throw the ball 50 times. You set anybody up for failure if they got to throw the ball 50 times. I'm sorry. See, what you could set up somebody for success for is with this Carolina Panthers situation and Andy Dalton. Now, I know everybody going to kill Bryce Young and say, look, I told you the problem. Andy Dalton just came right in and balled out, by the way. I'm not going to take it away from balled out, by the way. I want to say that again. And he don't did ball out. Three touchdowns, 319 yards, 26 for 37. Made every pass he needed to make. But Hubbard had 114 yards on 21 carries. And this, what I'm telling you, me and Sean was talking about with this last game with the Bears, you got to establish the run, because once you come predictable, you're going to get cooked. And once they establish the running mate, Andy Dalton with that veteran presence does mean a lot. Came in, made the passes, and did everything he's supposed to do. But, Sean, you know, we got to play devil's advocate and what the people want to hear. Is it true that Bryce Young just not the guy and Andy Dalton just came in and showed that? Or what? What's the true story of the situation?
I think the true story of the situation is Andy Dalton is a veteran quarterback whose experience showed yesterday. And not taking anything away from Carolina winning yesterday, because I thought Carolina did play well yesterday. But the Raiders also did not play like they want. I thought the Raiders, watching the parts of the game that I watched, they just kind of play lethargic. And even, you know, Antonio Pierce, the head coach, came out after the game and said, you know, watching the game, guys were making business decisions on the field not to play hard. And he said, we're going to make some business decisions this week. So, you know, so I'm not taking anything away from Carolina. A win is a win. But also, again, that was not the Raiders team we saw last week in Baltimore, particularly in the second half. That was not the same Raiders team yesterday.
Sean, do you think it was – when he say business decision, do you think it's from the point of like, oh, they thought that we played the Panthers and this is going to be an easy dub, and they just walked in and thought it was going to be sweet because they played way harder against the Ravens? Or do you think business decision, like people chasing stats? I was kind of trying to see which one – what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
I think it was more the former, that they just weren't playing as hard as they did last week against the Ravens. And again, you know, it's the human element sometimes, SB, is I think sometimes it's difficult to get up for specific opponents. And again, Carolina had not been good these first 2 weeks. Nobody's disputing that. But at the end of the day, you know, you still have to respect the opponent, and you got to respect that they spent a week preparing for the game, and you did the same thing as well. And you're not just going to go out and beat them because you think you're the better team. You got to go out and take it. And we saw that yesterday. I think quite a few teams, you know, that we thought were shoo-ins to win, you know, literally, you know, took a dump in the bed, you know, yesterday. So it's a week-to-week league. It's an any-given Sunday league. And you got to show up ready to play. And you got to play. And if you don't, you get beat.
Just like how they did, because it was crazy to me that the Raiders come in, play hard against the Ravens, beat the Raiders. I thought Devontae, I was like, yeah, Devontae Adams, I put a touchdown for Devontae Adams in my parlay. Did not work. I thought Devontae Adams was going to go off. Like, this is an easy game to go off on. But like you said, any given Sunday can happen if you don't. Everybody's still professional professional players in the NFL. All these guys was probably the best player on their team, second best player on their team. Anybody can get a win, like you said, any given Sunday. And the Raiders going to be the Raiders all the time. They'll play good one day, and then they be trash. That's just the Raider way. And I kind of like it when it's on going to my favor. I like to see the Raiders lose. But another team that I do like to see lose to, though, Sean, is the Dallas Cowboys. And I told y'all this once, and I'm finna double down on it again. If you guys bet, I don't care if it's FanDuel, PrizePicks, NFL bet, I said NFL bet, ESPN bet, whatever you want to bet on, whatever it is, you know, shout out to any one of those platforms you want to sponsor the podcast. We here go to business at realtakesoverfakethebase.com. We can definitely sponsor, put picks in too. But if it's a running back playing the Cowboys, please put the over in for him on the yards, or please put a touchdown guarantee in for that parlay, because Sean, the Dallas Cowboys defense is hot garbage. It is 100% hot garbage. And we also, I want to talk about this Baltimore Ravens too on the other side of this too. But Derrick Henry went off of two TDs, 25 carries, 151 yards. And I love how everybody want to blame Dak Prescott. The same thing we just talked about with Caleb Williams. I did like that Dak Prescott threw the ball 51 times, but the Cowboys' run offense has been iffy all this year. But we got to talk about this defense. I'm sorry. Michael Parsons, you got to lock in. Dexter Lawrence, you got to lock in. I don't understand this, Sean. This team cannot stop the run. And if I could go look on their schedule, it's a lot of people who finna look like prime Barry Sanders in this next coming. That Najee Harris game coming up, they finna go off. That Lions game, Montgomery Gibbs gonna go off. I think Christian McCaffrey might come back on the 27th of October just to play the Cowboys because that's gonna be an easy game to go off. What is the true problem with this defense and why they can't stop anybody who can run the ball?
Obviously I watched the game yesterday, SB, for the most part, again, flipping back and forth between a couple other games. But I think there are two things that are very telling about this defense. Number one, I don't know what their identity is defensively. They get punched in the mouth early, and they don't get up.
No.
And conversely, they don't run the ball well, like you mentioned, which means, you know, they're in a team generally knows they got to throw the football to be successful. And if you're playing them in that way, then, you know, you're going to be in a lot of quick possessions and defense is back on the field. I think, you know, two things. One, remember, they got a new defensive coordinator. Mike Zimmer is a new defensive coordinator because their head coach, Dan Quinn, is now the head coach in Washington. That's first. And then secondly, they only made one real general change to their defense from last year, which was adding Eric Kendricks at linebacker. It's pretty much the same personnel, and that's not to include the personnel that they lost. Yeah. So, you know, it's a – I mean, obviously, we clown the Cowboys because we clown Cowboy fans, especially those who still living in the 90s. But
it's over, by the way.
Yeah, but this is not an especially talented team on the defensive side of the ball. Michael Parsons, we know Michael Parsons is Michael Parsons, but he's one person.
Yep.
And again, schematically, I don't know what they're trying to do. You know, they said, okay, yeah, we got to be better against the run. You look at the last three home games they've played, SB, going back to the playoffs last year against Green Bay in the playoffs, and then against New Orleans last week and against Baltimore yesterday, they have absolutely gotten dominated at the line of scrimmage. Defensively.
Destroyed.
I mean, destroyed. They don't win the trenches, and that is a massive issue if you want to be a good – most good defenses win in the trenches. They don't.
They don't.
And I know – to me, the final score of the game wasn't indicative of how the game was. Baltimore dominated the game basically for 2.5 quarters and then got conservative, which, again, that's another issue that we can talk about later on. But to me, the final score wasn't indicative of that the Cowboys played well. It was indicative of Baltimore got conservative. And I'm not going to lie, there were probably two calls in that game that I thought were just absolutely terrible. And I don't know if you watched the game, but there was one call where Dak is in the end zone. He's about to get sacked in the end zone. He throws the ball into the back of an offensive lineman. There's not an offensive skill player anywhere near. They don't call intentional grounding. Which it was intentional grounding. And intentional grounding in the end zone is what?
A safety.
It should have been a safety. That's one. And then there was a roughing the passer call late in the game that was absolutely not roughing the passer. It was just an atrociously bad call. So now that said, Baltimore, you have to recover that first onside kick, right?
Yes, you're doing.
Yeah, like that you know that they declared they're doing it. Get your hands team out there, recover that onside kick. But I just think the Cowboys right now, if I'm playing the Cowboys defense in fantasy this week, I'm picking up Devin Singletary from the Giants. He better have 100 yards because they cannot stop the run. And again, you know, they said hero ball. I don't necessarily see hero ball. What I see is they just don't know schematically what they want to be and what they're doing.
Yeah, and I don't think it's no point of return for them too, Sean. I don't see – like them turning around their run defense any point of this season. I think this is going to be a consistent problem. And I'm sorry. I know everybody valued a quarterback. Everybody is going to say throw the ball. But no, if you can run the ball easily, and then when it comes to playoff time, which I still think this team is going to make the playoffs, in the NFC, you got the 49ers, the Eagles, that's been in a way, even the Packers, that's going to beat them again because they're not going to be able to stop the run. You're going to have those elite backs in the backfield that's going to go off. And when the back goes off, it makes the job very easy for the quarterback. Now you don't know what to do. That play action, and now it's second and two, and you're trying to rush to stop the first. Now they play action and drop the top on you and go ahead and get an easy bucket or an easy TD. He's going to be looking crazy. I ain't going to lie. The pass rush still looking elite, but I don't care what team you are. You're not going to win, or you're not going to go deep in the playoffs if you can't stop the run. Like I said, they tricked the fans to think a running back position is not valuable. It's very valuable, and you can tell because the Cowboys just got mollywopped and whooped both times, and the key part of them getting destroyed is they couldn't stop the run. Having a running back makes everything much easier. Or having a running back go off makes everything much easier.
And I want to just point out, real quick, SB, their next few games, they play this Thursday night at New York against the Giants, who come off a win in Cleveland. Yep. Then they got to go to Pittsburgh. Then they have the Lions at home. Then they got to go to San Fran, as you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Then they got to go to Atlanta. Then they got to go to the Eagles. Or no, they have the Eagles come to Dallas, and then they play the Texans at home. You're talking about all of these teams can run the football.
Ooh-wee.
So you know, listen, they better get it fixed.
I think it's at a point of no return. I think it's at a point of no return, Sean. I'm not going to even lie to you. But speaking of something that needs to get fixed. It's the Baltimore Ravens. I want to talk about the other side because they was blowing them out, and they got two conceited. Conservative. I'm sorry. Thank you. They got two conservative, and they almost gave this game away. But you know, a win's a win. Not for everybody though. So Marlon Humphreys, which who ain't been playing as good as he's supposed to be so far this season, has decided that. And I don't want to make it seem like a bad guy. It's just the truth. Has decided on the plane to go on IG Live, number one wrong, then record Lamar Jackson celebrating the win when they won it too. And it's not a team who just happy about winning. This is a Super Bowl contending team. And shout out Tiffany. Why she keeps saying blame John. And happy birthday, Tiffany, too. That for everybody listening, that is Tiff. She's the Raven fan of the show. She loves the Ravens. But let's see what Marlon Humphreys recorded on Lamar Jackson on the plane. This is from Marlon Humphreys, IG.
Lamar, talk to us a little bit about getting that first dub. Talk to us a little bit. You know, the flock, they got to hear from you. You know what I mean? They got to hear from you.
Got the dub. Keep stacking.
We shouldn't even
arrive
right now.
Yes, sir. Lamar Jackson was not amused about this at all, and he shut down Marlon Humphreys Live. And I just want to point out a couple of things that he did say. One, he was like, "You wild, you be the cops right now." People hear that. That's just pretty much saying it's like, You doing something, you recording, we could be doing anything, you get in trouble. Because now if Lamar Jackson would have been over on live happy, people would have been like, "Oh, why is he happy? We wanted to." And you could make Lamar Jackson look bad in the media. Two, he said, "You don't need to be on live. You need to be trying to lock in right now." Because Lamar Jackson understands this. And this shows great leadership. And the one thing that I do hate, Sean, because if this was any, which he getting love in the comments, but I want more public love, because if this was Joe Burrow, this was Aaron Rodgers, this was Brock Purdy, this would be on the front page of every sports story of talking about how a leader and how a quarterback should be. I want Lamar Jackson to get the same energy. That is what I want my quarterback to do. That is what I want my quarterback to say. Brother, why is you selling? Why is you – the win's a win. We're going to take our dub. But why is you on IG Live right now like we ain't 1-2? Why are you on IG Live like we didn't just almost gave this game away? We got to lock in. We ain't playing up to par. We not playing Baltimore Ravens football. We not playing up to our standard, because if we keep playing like this, we not contending for no Super Bowl. But, Sean, what was your reaction to this? And how you think Lamar Jackson reacted? Did he do the right thing? Was he wrong? How you feeling?
No, this is Lamar asserting himself, you know, more not just as a leader by example, but a vocal leader. And again, he's like you said, he understands the situation. The Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson at quarterback are not going to be judged on the regular season. This team could win 13 games in the regular season and it wouldn't shock any of us, because That's generally what they do. They understand their judgment is going to come playoff time, particularly if they match up against a team like Kansas City in the AFC at some point, which again, you know, all roads generally run through Kansas City at this point. So, It's the focus. It's the we're glad that we got out with the dub. We're glad to get off the schneid and get that zero out of the win column. But look at how we played, particularly in the second half. We don't have anything to be celebrating right now. Uh-huh. We need to be locked in and focused and figuring out why it is we keep. And again, the other piece is they are a team that for many reasons cannot seem to hold on to big leads.
No, they cannot.
And again, it was really – when you look at and SB, I don't know if you watched the game yesterday, they ran the ball three times more than they threw it. Yep. They only had 15 passing attempts. They had 45 rushing attempts. That statistically should tell me, hey, you dominated time of possession. You dominated the game. Mm-hmm. But what are we doing that's allowing teams to just get back in the games? And why are we not, you know, when we have a team down, keeping our foot on their neck and snapping it?
And just for the record, trying to cut you off, the time of possession, the Baltimore Ravens had the ball for 34 minutes and 45 seconds. The time of possession for the Cowboys, 25 minutes and 15. So right. A whole 10 minutes, a whole, pretty much almost a whole quarter worth of the handball of the ball. Then, why is the game even this close as it is?
Right. And they literally needed Lamar late in the game to come out and to save the win for him. It should not even come down to that. So again, Lamar, I like what he did, and I like that he's stepping up as the leader of that team. But the other side is John Harbaugh. This is really at your feet, because you are the common denominator over the last few years of why your team cannot hold on to big leads. And when you're up, and again, you got away with one yesterday, but the last couple of years, you've been giving up big leads and finding a way to lose games. And that, if you are a championship team and view yourself as a championship contender, that is a massive concern. So I think they really got to get that figured out. And again, I think John Harbaugh is one of the best coaches in the league. I've said that, but this is an Achilles heel, and they got to get it figured out.
No, they got to get this figured out like ASAP, because this is a team that's very much competing for a championship, and you don't want to be known for the team that gives up leads all the time. And this is something that they can't fix. But only thing is concerning to me is that you could dominate the time of possession consistently, and you giving up leads. That's bad. That means you just giving up when the other teams give up the ball. They just making plays on you, because now I want to actually check. The Raiders game, let's check the time of possession. The Raiders had one more minute, so it's pretty much even 30 minutes and 43 seconds to 29 minutes and 17 seconds. So the Ravens still hold the ball very good. Let me check. I want to check week one, because that is a high sign of concern, Sean. If you can dominate the time of possession and you can still lose or give up a game, that just tells me you just giving up big plays. And the team just coming down on the field and scoring. For the record, Sean, the Chiefs and Baltimore Ravens game, the Ravens dominated the time of possession to 33 minutes and 43 seconds to the Chiefs 26 minutes and 17 seconds. That's bad. That's a bad sign.
Yeah, and I would say this just real quick, SB. If I had another concern with the Ravens, is we always largely consider Justin Tucker automatic. Mm-hmm. Within 50 yards, he's got to make him. He missed, I think he missed from 46 yesterday, and he's had a couple of games where he's missed field goals that generally are makeable for him. And again, we're not talking about him kicking, but then you got the Cowboys kicking on the other side, hitting 65-yard field goals.
Yeah, man, he got that boot. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah. If you have him in fantasy, you know, you got a winner there. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, that's another issue. I'm starting to think that they got to consider bringing in at least, you know, somebody to compete in practice during the week just to see. Because, again, Justin Tucker, you know.
That's crazy to say.
This is the one. I know, and we never thought we'd say this about Justin Tucker, but, you know, it is getting a little concerning, again, that he's not making those field goals 50 yards and under.
Yeah, no, that's a bad sign for sure. Let us know, can the Baltimore Ravens turn it around, and how do you guys feel about Marlon Humphrey's recording at IG Live? Did Lamar Jackson handle it the right way? Another team we got to talk about, though, a quarterback, Sam Darnold and the Vikings. This kind of hurt my heart that the Texans didn't show up to play because C.J. Stroud is my MVP pick, but how the Vikings playing, though, Sean, this is ridiculous. And I want to – because we're going to talk about the other side of the ball in a second, because that could I think that's the real key, but I cannot deny. Sam Darnold has just showed me that when you got a wide receiver like Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins is the biggest finesse in football, because – Sam Darnold looking just like how Kirk Cousins looked last year. When he was there, I'm sorry. Sam Darnold, 17 for 28, 181 yards. And this season right now, total, I want to see this man's stats, total this season. He right now through 3 weeks, 657 yards, 8 TDs, 2 interception with a 117 QB rating. What's going on, Sean, with the Vikings? I thought this team was just going to die out, be at the end of the division. I had them finish last in the division. I don't think so no more, Sean. The Vikings look legit. What's going on?
No, I mean, again, I think they, you know, when you don't have expectations, and again, when I'm saying expectations, not within your building, but I'm talking about public expectations, because I don't think a lot of people came into this season super high on the Vikings. Again, because of that division. Now, again, we got two teams in that division that people think are legit Super Bowl contenders. Mm-hmm. The Vikings are like, well, let's wait a minute now. So far, I think what they're doing, again, it's complimentary football. Everybody's going to look at Sam Darnold. What you meant when you mentioned his stats, what his stats are doing is showing that he's playing competent football. He's not going out trying to be Superman. They're not asking him to be the savior either. He's just going out and doing his job, and he's doing it well. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it well enough where you mentioned Kirk Cousins from last season. Mm-hmm. I might even have to question whether or not they really needed to draft J.J. McCarthy.
I mean, you got to. Sam Darnold old. You got to.
Well, no, he's not old. That's the thing. He's actually, you know, Sam Darnold is younger than Joe Burrow.
Huh?
Yes.
He's 27. Oh, he is kind of young. But I mean, nobody expected Sam Darnold to come in and play like this, though. But I mean, if you found your answer, you gotta take that chance. But I ain't gonna say they should have drafted JJ though, because we didn't. Yeah. I ain't gonna say they should have drafted JJ.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's going to be hard for him to start, though.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and again, they may very well be in the situation where they don't necessarily need
to rush
J.J. McCarthy. And I just saw some breaking news come across, if you want to throw it to breaking news.
Yes, sir, let's do it. Yes. We got some breaking news in back. Breaking news here on Breaking news here on the Real Takes on Fake the Base Network. Sean, what we got?
Breaking news, Brock Purdy is going to undergo an MRI on his back.
Oh.
And Javon Hargrave, the defensive tackle from the 49ers, is going to miss the rest of the season with a triceps injury. Ooh. So,
yeah. That is a big hit for the 49ers right there.
Massive
hit. Just play good. We're going to talk about Brock Purdy later in the show, too.
Yes, but yes.
Brock Purdy, that's a bad hit. That's going to hurt for the 49ers. That injury bug, man. The injury bug, bro.
Hey, ain't nobody going to feel sorry for you. They going to cancel the games.
Still got to play. You still got to play. But, Sean, we were talking about this because also with Sam Darnold, two of those, you could say the Giants was a slouch. He did. He played good against the 49ers defense, and he just played good against the Texans defense. And the Texans defense ain't no slouch or the 49ers. Right. So I think you could tip your hat to Sam Darnold now that he found struck gold. Because honestly, you just throw a couple chains on him after a dub. I see Kirk Cousins. That's all I'm telling you. I see the same thing. But the true story behind this Vikings team and winning is Brian Flores and his defense. Sean, I got CJ Stroud as the MVP. This Vikings defense had my guy flustered. Going crazy. He still threw for 200 yards, but he had two interceptions. And this defense stuffed the run. The Texans could not run the ball. The Vikings is on pace to be a top five defense in the league, Sean. Is this the true reason why the Vikings are this good?
I think it's a big part of it. We were texting about it yesterday, SB. When you watch them and they're particularly watching on defense, look at how versatile and multiple they are in what they're showing teams. Brian Flores is it's literally a chess match out there. And he is literally like showing all kinds of stuff where, again, on one play, he might rush two guys and drop nine in coverage, you know, Brian Flores obviously is a Bill Belichick disciple. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick would do that against Peyton Manning at times when Peyton Manning was with the Colts. Like, sure. We know you want to throw. You're going to try to throw. No, we're just going to rush two guys and we'll drop nine. So he was doing some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the way he's deploying guys, like in one play, he may have Harrison Smith in too high. The next play, Harrison Smith may be coming off the edge to blitz. Mm-hmm. Next play, Harrison Smith may be lined up at linebacker, showing. So he's literally giving quarterbacks fits. Giving opposing offenses fits. You literally have to be prepared for everything against that defense right now. And I know obviously we pick games on Fridays, but this Minnesota Green Bay game this week is going to be very interesting, for a couple of reasons. And, but that defense is legit. It is absolutely legit. Yeah. But it's complimentary. They are playing really good complimentary football on both sides. And I would say, just me, if I were a team that has an offense that we think is really set and really good, but our defense is struggling and I'm looking for a head coach, my first phone call is going to be to Brian Flores.
It's time to get him back. I know a lot of stuff happened in Miami. It's time. How he running his defense? It's time to get that man his job. That man needs to be head coach.
Yeah.
Got to tell you. Sean, like I said, the name of this episode is The Replacements. One team trash is another team treasure. And this next game that happened during week three is a perfect example of that. Sometimes you got to show your ex what they missed out on, and Malik Willis did it in his revenge game. I'm actually happy Malik Willis got a revenge game, but sometimes it's also, we talked about this earlier about being in a better situation. We was talking about the field situation. But Malik Willis got the job done as the Packers beat the Titans. Now, Sean, they won convincingly. I feel like Malik Willis did a good job. Didn't have to really do too much. 13 for 19, 202 on the yards, one TD. Did they make the wrong choice by keeping Will Levis over Malik Willis?
Again, it goes back to infrastructure to develop, right? Mm-hmm. What the Packers have shown as an organization, they know how to develop quarterbacks.
Yeah, they do. Jesus.
And again, this is where, again, you got to give a lot of praise to their coaching staff. They're not coming in and asking Malik Willis to be Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. They were running different formations. They were running some wing T stuff yesterday. Like it was, they were running a lot of different things from him, and they were allowing him to use his legs. I'm not saying, hey, go in and be a drop back passer, and allowing him to use his legs as well. And it helps that you're playing the Titans, who somehow find a way to lose games so far this season, which, okay. But, you know, I think the big thing is that, you know, it's very easy for a team to say, this is our system. This is what we do. This is how we run. This is how we operate. No. What is this guy's skill set? How can we use this guy's skill set and put this guy in the best position to help us win games? Yeah. You know, so that's what Green Bay does. They have put Malik Willis in the situation where he is able to use his skill set and not saying, oh, here's the system we run. We need you to fit and figure out how to fit in this system. You know, I don't know if he, and again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with Justin Fields, and it's coaching and development matters. It always has mattered. If you're not going to coach, if you're not going to develop, guys aren't going to get to the level that they're going to get, because these guys don't come in as perfect players and perfect prospects. Yep. You know, so I think, you know, again, at the end of the day, the situation matters. Tennessee ain't Green Bay.
No, it's not.
It's not. The situation is very different, right? Mm-hmm. Go back and historically look at Tennessee, and I'm just going to say historically, Steve McNair needed time to develop. He developed in Tennessee, because they built a system around what he and Eddie George did well and the defense, and he becomes an MVP, a league MVP, right? They didn't do the same thing for Vince Young. Now, there were other issues with Vince as well, but my point is that where you go
matters.
Is the infrastructure there for you to develop? Is the infrastructure in place for you to say, yes, we understand you're not perfect. We're going to give you time. We're going to coach you. And our coaching with your development, we believe you'll become a great player, but we have a path that we do that. Tennessee doesn't have that. Yeah. They don't have that recently. Now they got Brian Callahan, who again was a big part of Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, but now we got to see, is he going to do that with Will Levis, or is he going to do that with somebody else later on? But again, I think it's just where you go matters. And Malik Willis is in he's at the quarterback development factory, if we're being honest, in Green Bay. So, you know, I think it's easy to say, oh, they made a mistake. I don't think he becomes this in Tennessee, because this ain't what Tennessee does. This is not who they are.
And he got the opportunity in the worst way. Obviously, you hate to see injuries happen, but I think this is going to be a great stepping stool, because at the end of the day, no matter how good Malik Willis play, unless he pull off an MVP caliber season, Jordan Love got the contract signed. Jordan Love is going to be that guy. Jordan Love is going to start.
Jordan Love's a quarterback.
But like you said, have shown, like even he rushed and he did a rush of TD and he led the team rush yards, only like 76 yards. But it shows other teams who might need, because in this day and age, you need that athletic quarterback who got an arm, or you could just polish him up and then you can put him in the right position. The Packers are showing, hey, look, this is what you can do with this quarterback, and he could possibly become a starter. I can see him having a Baker Mayfield type of thing where you go different places and learn, and then you go to the right situation, it could become a starter there. It's a lot of teams who still could use a quarterback, even I know the draft coming up, but sometimes teams can have a situation that opens, even if they draft a guy like the Vikings. Now you see Sam Darnold got opportunity. Now it's going to be hard for JJ to get that spot, but I can see Malik Willis being a consistent starter in the league right now. And I'm happy that he got his revenge game. But I also, on the other side, I do not want the Titans to give up on Will Levis, because Will Levis has, he shows promise. He has to learn how to take care of the football. He has to learn how to stop being doing a bonehead plays. But it comes with you being young. So obviously the Titans, you made the choice, which I think either one, both of the guys are talented, so you didn't have a wrong answer either which way. But you picked your quarterback, stick with him, don't give up on him, but he has to learn how to stop making boneheaded plays. I think when Will Levis does figure that out, he will get it, and he will understand more. But on to the next one, another quarterback who will understand more. We got Brock Purdy. So, Sean, we talked about Brock Purdy in this last game because the big question mark on is, you know, Mr. Irrelevant, which I was right by picking the Rams. Shout out me, too, because we definitely got to talk about that. I did pick the Rams. They came up and choked the game away. But Mr. Irrelevant showed a lot of promise because the question was, will he be worth the money? No Deebo Samuels. No Christian McCaffrey. I would say no problem, but they end up choking the game at the end. Brock Purdy went 22 for 30, 292 yards, 3 TDs, no interceptions. I honestly have no real complaints about Brock Purdy.
He did have a fumble.
The fumble was bad. But I'm saying, like, as a whole overall game, I don't really have too much to complain about.
Yeah.
I think it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt them. But because of the value of position, I'm going to have to say I think Brock Purdy might be worth the money. What you think, Ashar?
I mean, again, I think, you know, they believe they deem him their franchise quarterback. They're going to pay him. What it's going to be is, again, you know, the starting point is going to be around where Dak is, obviously, because Dak's at $60 million a season.
Oh, good golly.
You know, they understood that. They understand that. They understand they got a bargain deal right now. You know, whether he's deserves, you know, as to quote Snoop Pearson, deserve got nothing to do with it. It's just his time.
Yeah.
You know, so at the end of the day, you know, it ain't about deserve. It's just his time. You know, so, you know, but they're going to pay him, and, you know, and we'll see, can they remain a competitive playoff competitive team once they've paid him? Because again, we know the rule, we know how it works. You pay a guy, you're going to lose some talent. Now,
people,
one of the guys that they did extend earlier this offseason had a massive game yesterday. I know his story is up next.
Yes.
You know, that's how you do it. You get ahead of it, and you say, hey, listen, Juwan Jennings showed, hey, man, listen, he's their number three. Maybe he can be their two, you know, next to IU, who they've obviously paid as well. So, you know what I mean? So that's the other side of it is, you know, them understanding, you know, where they are in terms of their roster, but also getting out in front of some of these deals, as early as possible, because, again, you know, the bank is about to be open for, you know, Brock Purdy.
The bank definitely going to be open for Brock Purdy. I play solid. But I'm not going to lie, Sean. I watch football a lot. Pay attention to a lot of games on Sundays. Sitting in the office right here. Have my laptop on one screen, this screen, oh, this screen. I'm watching multiple games. Got stuff flicking through it. But Juwan Jennings, I'm not going to lie, brother. I was not familiar with your game, because I walked away from this game asking, who is Jennings? I felt like I was watching the first viral video of Madden. It was like the Greg Jennings video with a broken leg. I'm trying to figure out, who is this dude going off like this? And I don't know, because obviously, which I should have avoided this game anyway, I put Brandon Ayuk on my parlay thing. Touchdown. Probably like, you got to get Brandon Ayuk a ball. They was on Brandon Ayuk. Jennings made the job easier. And seeing a player like this go off, and then especially they draft a rookie wide receiver, I can kind of see why they was maybe hesitant to pay Brandon Ayuk, because it's like, you got other options. If you got guys who just going to go off like this four games. It reminded me of that Randy Moss game. Randy Moss had three catches for three touchdowns because he was looking like Randy Moss. Like every time he caught the ball, it was end zone Jones' turn. Who is this guy, Sean?
I don't know if you remember SB in the Super Bowl. He did something that has only been done, I believe, once in a previous Super Bowl. He caught a touchdown, but he also threw a touchdown in the Super Bowl, this past Super Bowl. He was their second leading receiver in the Super Bowl behind Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember this guy. Yeah.
Clearly he can play. So, you know, I don't think it's a matter of, you know, who is he? I think it's just a matter of he got a great opportunity without Debo, without George Kittle, without Christian McCaffrey. He got an opportunity, and he took advantage of it. Now, obviously, they didn't come out on the winning end of it, but, you know, this guy showed, hey, listen, you give me an opportunity, I'm going to make plays. And he's shown that going all the way back to the Super Bowl this past year. So not I wouldn't say not surprising. Obviously, when you explode for three TDs the way he did, I think he had 40 – I think he had over 40 fantasy points yesterday, and he wasn't on anybody's roster, you know. So, you know, that's very, very telling. But certainly, you know, he got an opportunity. He took great advantage of the opportunity. And again, if I'm the Niners, I'm happy he did that because, again, it tells me this guy can clearly be, you know, part of a big part of our future.
Yeah, I definitely can. Only person that I see that I might be concerned about seeing him go off like this, because like you said, I believe they just extended him in the offseason. I think this is going to be a bad sign for Debo, because now Ayuk already, I think, believe Debo on the contract, but I'm saying, like, when Brock Purdy get this contract and you got to move pieces and the receiver, I think Debo going to be the one on the tail end of it. And I hate to see that, but Debo going to probably go off in another situation. And it's not a shot at Debo Samuel, because we've been seeing the great Tyreek Hill, no matter how great he was with the Kansas City Chiefs, he ended up having to lead the Chiefs. But once quarterbacks get paid, or a lot of too many people get paid, pieces got to go. And next man get paid, next man out the door. And that's just literally how it is in the NFL. But he definitely went off for 40 fantasy points, and it was just crazy. But Sean, we gotta switch over to the hardwood, because it is a couple NBA stories that I want to talk about. Obviously, in WNBA, because this first story is a WNBA story. Obviously, you can't talk WNBA without having the Caitlin Clark drama story, which is always coming to fruition. ESPN is facing backlash because they dropped the top 25 women's players in the playoffs, and people are in an uproar because of where Caitlin Clark was placed, or not even necessarily to say about where she was placed, that who was over her. And there was only one name. Caitlin Clark was ranked the fifth best player in the playoffs right now. The players who was ahead of her, Asia Wilson, the unanimous MVP, nobody's going to argue that. Nap Collar from the Memphis, I don't want to say her name wrong, so I'm just saying Nap. Minnesota Lynx. Number three, Breonna Stewart. Number four, Alyssa Thompson of the Connecticut Suns. And I'm just going to give you a couple of tweets that people said. Alyssa Thomas over Caitlin Clark is crazy. Can't take ESPN serious putting Thompson over Clark. AT over CC, thumbs down. How in the world is Alyssa Thompson over Caitlin Clark? ESPN sucks. AT over Clark is a Harris classic. ESPN clickbait. Just to compare the season, obviously Caitlin Clark was the unanimous rookie of the year, led the league in assists. Did a great job. Usually, Alyssa Thompson does great with the assist for herself, but obviously, Caitlin Clark took that mantle from her. Caitlin Clark, 19 points per game, 5 rebounds, 8.4 assists a game. If you want to round it up, you could say 19, 6, and 8. Then you got Alyssa Thompson, who points went down this year, 10 points. You want to say 11 points per game, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. Do you agree that Caitlin Clark should be over Alyssa Thompson? and what you think about all this uproar with Caitlin Clark again.
I'll answer the second question first. Mm-hmm. You know, this is we live in this culture of this outrage culture. Mm-hmm. It's what can I get mad at today?
Pretty much.
Let me get online and see what can I get upset with today. You know, mm-hmm. Oh, you know, so-and-so released this list. Well, what can I get mad with on this list today? Mm-hmm. A lot of people who probably commented have never watched Alyssa Thomas play.
She's good too. She's solid.
You're right. She's a power forward who led the league in assists. Right. She's a tremendous defender. She's a five-time All-Star. She was all NBA, all WNBA first team last year, all second team the year before that. She's won the rebounding. She's been a rebounding champion. She's led the league in steals. Like, mm-hmm. It's not a slight to Caitlin or to anybody to put her that high. This woman can play.
Yeah, she can.
And she's a do-it-all. It's not, and again, when you watch her, it's not going to always show up in these tremendous and crazy stats. It's she's got a complete game. She is like that. Mm-hmm. So, for those who don't like it, over here at Real Take Silver Fake Debates, I'm not going to speak for SB, but I can honestly say we don't give a damn. She can play, and it's not saying Caitlin can't. It's just saying this is where they have them ranked. Mm-hmm. Now, Caitlin's in year one. Alyssa Thomas has been in the league since 2014.
Yep.
She's built a reputation and a tremendous resume. It's greater mm-hmm. than Caitlin Clark's WNBA resume because Caitlin Clark has only been in the WNBA for one year. Mm-hmm. So calm the freak down. Stop finding stuff to be upset with. Mm-hmm. Go downstairs, go upstairs, wherever you live, get yourself a cool glass of water and let it go.
Let it go. It's a couple of things for me about this situation. One, should Caitlin Clark be ranked over Alyssa Thompson? If she was, I wouldn't have a problem with it. If she wasn't, I can understand because people got to realize the Connecticut Suns are the number three seed in the league right now, and she's the leader on the team. Caitlin Clark deserves a lot of credit because took a team that was the number one pick to the playoffs. That is well deserved. So that's why I said either which way you put it with the rankings, that's understandable. But two things I want to see if people keep the same energy because I'm gonna call out a couple names. Gil. Even your Cheryl Spooks too, because they tell me like they was really going off scoring and saying everything doesn't matter. So I want to see. I haven't seen no video about them comment about it. So if they have an uproar or they're saying they agree with it, but I'm like, Gil, you only care about scoring. So I want to definitely see both of their opinion on that. No slight to either one of them. Both of them basketball great legends. But I just feel like, especially Gil, because Gil only care about scoring. So I want to see what he agree or disagree on this situation. But stop acting everybody else in the league. Fandom. Like Sean said, y'all always just want to find any and everything to be mad about. Everything is not an uproar. Caitlin Clark, for her to be ranked the fifth best player in the playoffs, her rookie year is outstanding. It's like you don't understand. She's over a lot of good players' names, like a Kelsey Plum, over Sabrina, over Nikia, I want to say her last name wrong.
Yeah, over Brittany Griner.
She's over a lot of people.
Over Skylar Diggins. Like, it's not a slight. And again, this wasn't even a whole NBA, WNBA players list because it left the teams who did not make the playoffs out. Mm-hmm. Because, again, she ain't better than Erica Ogunwoke from Dallas. So, like.
That's the second best player in the league to me, if you ask me. Ogunwoke is the second best player in the league.
Yeah, so, like. We can move on.
Yeah, we can move. Well, salute, Sturdy. Salute in the basement. He's from our Terp Nation there. She ranked fifth best player in the playoffs. She ranked
according to this ESPN list.
According to ESPN ranking, and people was mad that Sturdy comment she was ranked fifth in the playoffs for the people who listen on Apple and all the audio platforms. Yes, Sturdy, she was ranked fifth best player, and everybody had an uproar that Alyssa Thomas was ahead of her, which I think if I mean if I put the dynamic of what's and we're gonna move on after this. If you want to argue that she was ahead of her, I'm fine with it because she led the team to the playoffs and she put up great numbers. You know, you're cool. And if you want to argue for Alyssa Thomas, I'm cool. Slow down, SB Thompson is the second best player. Thompson, who? Which Thompson? I want to know that story. Which Alyssa. Oh, wait, what Thompson started commenting? We're gonna move on, but I want to hear what person that you're talking about because I'm sorry, I got a Gumike, and but nobody better than Wilson, though. Wilson is unanimous the best player in the league.
I would put Nafisa Collier,
Nafisa Collier right behind her,
yeah,
too,
yeah, right behind her, but, no, but yeah,
Alyssa Thomas over Gumike. Nah, we ain't doing that. Okay, I mean, I'm not mad at it, but I'm not doing that. I ain't doing that. Yeah. Unless you're talking about Alyssa Thomas, the power forward for the Connecticut Suns.
That's the one we're talking about that was ranked ahead of Caitlin on the list.
Yeah, because the people that was ahead of her was Asia Wilson. Say that girl name again.
Nafisa Collier.
Nafisa Collier, Brianna Stewart, Alyssa Thomas. Caitlin Clark. And Alyssa Thomas is a do-it-all big man, big forward. But the people that's ahead of her, nobody complain. Nobody argue Stewie. Nobody argue Collar. Nobody argue Wilson. Because they do. And Aja Wilson is by far the best player in the league. Nobody, if you arguing that, you smoking something. It's not even close. Yeah, that one. Oh, well. She sturdy believe Thompson the second best player in the league, so I guess she thinks she over Stewart. And yeah. So we got the argument, we got the debate about that one day. Let us know what y'all think about that. Sean, we got two quick stories, and then you know we got to get up out of here. You got to recap our picks of the week. Vince Carter will be the first Raptor to ever get their jersey retired, well deserved. But like you said, Sean, in the last story, everybody always want drama, always want controversy. A lot of people don't agree. A lot of executives do not agree that Vince Carter should be the first Raptor. The person that everybody's arguing for over Vince Carter is none other than Kyle Lowry because he led the team to their first ever championship. Now, let me say this. Kyle Lowry is the best Raptor ever. Not the best player to ever play in the Raptors jersey. I think from whatever go to Raptors, in my opinion, Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor ever. But the impact that Vince Carter had on his team that was brought in 95, he put the team on the map. Imagine, this is the team, not in the United States. It's in Canada, Toronto. You can ask about what happened to the other team that was out of there. It didn't last that long. The Air Canada and the star power of Vince Carter made it a staple of a franchise, brought the popularity there. The dunk contest brought a popularity there. That Raptors jersey with the dino is a classic jersey. That Vince Carter 15 is a classic jersey. The nostalgia, the aura, the everything that Vince Carter brought to that team. He was the Canada's Michael Jordan to them. He was Jordan out there. He left in a bad way because he don't get a lot of credit. But I think for the history of the Raptors, which I think, like I said, Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor ever. Not the greatest player to ever wear a Raptor jersey. The greatest Raptor ever. But from the history of the Raptors organization, Vince Carter solidified that franchise. Like, even I'm glad that Shaq got his jersey retired in Orlando. I know he left nasty. He solidified that franchise. It's not always necessarily about winning championships because the merchandise, the popularity you bring, your aura, that helps a franchise out. Vince Carter stabilized that franchise because of his popularity. So if anybody deserved to get the first jersey retired, I don't have a problem with it being half man, half amazing. What about you, Sean?
Well, so I think there are a couple reasons why the Raptors are doing this. Number one, the Nets are retiring Vince's jersey. And if you look at when the Raptors scheduled to do it, they're actually doing it right before the Nets are doing it. Cause again, they want to be, that's where he is most associated with in his career. As you mentioned, 30, certainly it didn't end well. There were things that went on the last, couple years that he was there that he's had to take ownership for, as well. And, also admitting that, he didn't always, show up to, and play as hard, that he was, there were times that he could have played when he was, injured and not necessarily hurt. There's a lot of things that he came out and admit. He was on stage dancing at a Nelly concert when he was out with a knee injury and, all kinds of stuff. So there were a lot of issues there, but obviously time, in this instance, heals all wounds. Ever since he went back in 2014, he left in 2004, went back in 2014, the fans started to cheer him whenever he would enter the game. When they knew that, it was going to be his last season, they gave him, this massively long ovation. As you mentioned, Sturdy, I don't think he just put that team on the map. He made sure that market, because again, Toronto and Vancouver were the first to get two teams in Canada. He made sure that team has stability in that market because of how great he was in that market, but also how great he was as a player for that team. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't think anybody can dispute that. So yeah, it makes sense for him to have his jersey retired first. I actually think, Chris Bosh should get his jersey retired there as well.
Be next. Yep.
He was there for 7 years and gave them everything he had. As a 5-time All-Star and All NBA guy. It's not that, again, sometimes with retiring jerseys, again, especially if this is the first of your franchise to do it, the first does not mean this person is the best. It's just the time.
And the timing.
That's it.
I'm glad you brought up that the Raptors hurried up and made sure they was going to retire his jersey before the Nets did, which that means you should do right when you're supposed to do right, because you wait too long, somebody going to beat you to it. And how legendary this is for Vince Carter to actually get two jersey retirements in the same year. Is Vince Carter the first player to ever get his jersey retired in two places in the same year?
I believe so.
That's going to be a trivia question. Who was the player to ever get their jersey retired in two different places in the same year? And that showed you how legendary Vince Carter was. And Sturdy commented and said, greatest Raptor is Kyle Lowry. NBA doesn't retire players' jersey while they're playing. I 100% agree with you, Sturdy, but whoever the executive is don't realize that, because Kyle Lowry is still definitely playing. And Sean, Cotter's got, I believe this is a question for you, because Ray Allen is your guy. Who's better all time, Vince Carter or Ray Allen, Sean, in your
Ray.
Sean goes Ray. All right, last story of the day before we get into our picks of the recap of our picks of the week. I think I got you this week too, Sean. I don't know. We're going to definitely see. Mitchell Robinson is out for the start of the 2024 season. Obviously, he had the injury last season. Looked like he's not going to be fully prepared at the start of the season. How big of a hit will this be for you for the New York Knicks?
I mean, I think it's a big hit in the sense that obviously they were depending on and banking on him coming back, healthy this season. They obviously lost Hartenstein in free agency to Oklahoma City. So, they're going to be depending heavily on Mitchell Robinson. That said, maybe they start the season with Julius Randle playing, more of the five, starting at the five. Josh Hart can play the five if they need, because he's gonna get 13 rebounds a game anyway. So but in all seriousness, the Knicks view themselves as a legit contender in the East. This is a hit, but they're saying he could be back December, January. They just got to manage until he comes back, and then eventually work him back into the rotation. Because again, I think they will need Mitchell Robinson. Definitely, obviously, in the East, when you got to go up against Embiid and Porzingis and, Bam Adebayo and some of the other bigs in the Eastern Conference.
In the Basement Sports Podcast comment said he was out pretty much the whole season. That ain't no loss. No, it's definitely going to be a loss. Where you come to well, Tibbs.
And remember in the basement. Yeah, remember in the basement. They had Hartenstein last year who gave them a lot. So, you know.
He ain't there no more.
And he's not there anymore. So they were depending on Mitchell Robinson, unquestionably.
I'm going to just throw this in the air, Sean, because like you said, he's out until December from this, December or January from his ankle injury. And with Tibbs, Tibbs definitely going to want some rim protection. It's two-way Tibbs going to go about it. But what I'm going to say is because they need to act on this fast because you don't want to start off too slow and try to play catch-up late in the season. And bad enough, Tibbs play his players the whole game. Don't let him be in from – let him go into the All-Star break and they at the bottom of the East and they got to make a push. He going to run them players to death to get in the playoffs. One Tibbs way to do it, which I don't want him to do it because I think Taj is completely out. Go get Taj Gibson like he always do. He always called Taj would be on the couch with two Miller Lite cans, drinking, playing the game, and watching sports. He'd call Taj off the couch, man. You in shape, Taj? Come on, man. I need you. All I need is to protect the rim. But it is another one of all-time great defensive centers who's still in shape because he's been playing overseas places. You know what they were finna say. I'm New York Knicks. Make the call. Go get Dwight Howard. Go bring Dwight Howard in. All you need to do with Mitchell Robinson, Dwight Howard still can protect the rim. Dwight Howard still can rebound. Dwight Howard was the last guy I seen to play great defense on Jokic at the center, even though it was in the bubble, I don't care. New York Knicks, go get Dwight Howard. Don't call Taj Thibodeau. Go get Dwight Howard. He's there and in shape. I'm calling it now. Go get Dwight. Tibbs, call Dwight Howard. He ready. He'll be a perfect fit. He can set screens for Brunson. He's a big body. You can throw him lobs. He can still block shots. You don't need Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard can give you 4 points and 10 rebounds a game and a block and a half a game at this age right now still. So go get Dwight. Now, Sean, it is time for our recap of the picks of the week. All right, Sean, let's do it. Let's do it. Who won this week? We are one and one right now. We got to set the matrix back right. It's a little off.
We'll see what happens. So, first game, Denver at Tampa Bay. We both took Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay got smacked.
Pause right here for a second. We have been crucified, Bo Nix, but he have been hooping. It's so bad, right? My boy, who's a Bears fan, shout out Damo, was like, man, at this point, bro, I ain't going to need like Caleb Bloom because he's the Justin Fields guy, by the way. He was like, man, I'll take Bo Nix in the third round pick. They can have Caleb.
Yeah,
I said, no, you're not doing that, right?
Yeah, we're not.
He's wild. But go ahead.
Bo Nix played a solid game yesterday. But again, their defense, and you know, it was crazy last year. This time, their defense was much maligned under Vance Joseph, and Sean Payton did not panic. He, you know, made the smart move to keep Vance Joseph, and their defense, you know, did turn around late in the season last year and has carried it over to this season. So, but that was the big part of it. Their defense was really, really good yesterday against Baker in that offense. Next game, Green Bay at Tennessee. We both took Green Bay. Obviously, Green Bay won. New York Giants at Cleveland. We both took Cleveland. The Giants pulled out a win yesterday, so neither of us get that game.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia at New Orleans. You took Philly. I, of course, took the Saints because I don't generally pick against the Saints, and Philly did win yesterday.
One for SB.
Yeah, so SB gets that one. LA Chargers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. You, of course, took your Chargers. I took the Steelers. Steelers did win. So
one for Shane.
Yeah, that one is for me.
One and one.
Houston at Minnesota. We both took Houston. Houston did, of course, get killed.
So I'm going to start picking Minnesota. I ain't going to lie to you.
Yeah.
That defense keep playing like that.
Well, we'll see. They play Green Bay this week, so we'll see. Next game, Chicago at Indianapolis. Both of us took the Bears. Colts obviously win, so neither of us get that one. Carolina at Vegas. We both took Vegas. Carolina did win yesterday, so neither of us get that one.
Shocker.
Miami at Seattle. Excuse me. We both took Seattle. Seattle smacked the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. And Dolphins did lose Skylar Thompson, their quarterback, to a rib injury. So we'll see what they do.
Tom Brady's on the way.
We ain't doing that.
Man, you need to get out that broadcast booth. You need to get back on that field.
Yeah, no, you don't. You need to go home. next game, Baltimore at Dallas. We both took the Ravens. The Ravens obviously did win. Mm-hmm. Detroit at Arizona. We both took Detroit. Detroit did pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco at the LA Rams. You took the Rams. The Rams did win.
Bing, so bing, two for SB.
It's that one. Kansas City at Atlanta. You took KC. I took the Falcons. Kansas City did win. Very questionable calls in that game as well, but that's neither
here nor there. I want to put it in there, but I'm gonna give it one more week. If it happens again for another week, I think we need to talk about it. But
yes. And then so two Monday night games, but neither of them factor in because we both took the same team. So SB does win week three.
Do you want to take that? I'll give you a chance to say if you want to take that chance or to switch teams.
No, I'm fine. Okay, I'm fine. Cool. Listen, this is a marathon, not a sprint. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes, sir. I got to give you. You got to send me what soundbite you want if you win the week. I got to, since we do audio, I want to have a soundbite. I don't know. I'm thinking of something. I got to think of something for my soundbite. But if you got an idea, text it to me like, hey, man, put this as my soundbite.
No, it's just, you know, when I win the season, then I want the soundbite, but that's all.
As the matrix has been set back right, all the Dragon Balls have been assembled, all the numbers have hit the jackpot. SB gets the win. We up 2-1 over the season. It's looking good, but like Lamar Jackson said, we got a lucky and job ain't finished. We on our revenge tour. We lost last season. This season, we coming for the glory. In the real takes, old faith the base glory. But, Sean, that has been another great episode of Real Takes Over Fake Debates. Yeah, man, that was good. Season 2, Episode 3, who you got? I ain't looking up. I know my answer. I already know. It's no pun intended when I say that. I know my answer. So, but
who you got? Go ahead and drop your answer.
I mean, my first – favorite basketball player ever. Part of the reason when I combed my dress out, the first hairstyle I got when I could get it was the Allen Iverson braids. AI, the answer, Bubba Chuck, of course. One of the greatest guards of all time, man. AI, man. I got to my first favorite player ever, man.
Yeah. You know who it is. You know what it is. You see what it is.
The Flash. Yeah,
it's D-Wade, you know, so that's it.
D-Wade, yeah, I have to agree with that one. Can't complain about that one. D-Wade and Feather. Hey, number three is a serious number. Serious number. But just for giggles, let me see. What other player we could have started? Who else we think? Who else we could have probably said?
I mean, you know, this is Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course.
Ken Griffey Jr. went number three?
He might. I don't recall, but I remember him wearing 30. He wore three in Cincinnati. I think he wore three in Cincinnati.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say CP. Yeah. T-Mac did wear three in New York. That don't look good on T-Mac. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, not at all. We're not talking about those years. No.
Am I tripping? A-Rod wore three? I don't remember A-Rod wearing
three. He wore 13 with the Yankees. He wore three in Texas and in Seattle.
Okay,
and then three is tired because of Babe Ruth, so he couldn't wear three. You know, obviously.
Obviously, I know one player you probably would have definitely wanted to put on yours is Russell Wilson for sure. I know Russell.
No,
Wilson,
not at all. Not at all. No, I don't.
You know, I gotta go.
I don't rep for Sierra's husband like that.
Man, he got he ain't Jonathan Owens, man. He got his own name, but also another good one was Big Ben Wallace. Big Ben Wallace. Shout out Big Ben.
Yeah, Big Ben be another one. Yeah.
Yeah, but appreciate you guys watching Real Takes Over. Make sure you guys like, share, and subscribe on all platforms, especially we are now on all audio platforms too, from Apple, iHeart, Spotify. please go in there. Like, we see you guys on there too. So make sure you guys like, make sure you guys share. Because I know everybody can't always be on YouTube and catch it in time. So we got it here. And also, if you sit down watching TV or what about the show, go ahead and watch the show on YouTube. Or just go ahead and put your headphones in and give us a listen. See you guys on Friday. It's SB and Sean, and we are checking out of here.